It's Thursday, December 27th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 827, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our December special, which is being extended into January for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $2.95.coms. Use promo code GEEK295 or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey, folks, I got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and hey, I tell you, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a great holiday. And man, in just a few days, we're going to be into the new year here, and things are as crazy as ever, as you can imagine, as we're getting ready to pack up and go to Las Vegas and everything else. Hope Santa Claus was good for you. I tell you, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana out there, all of you longtime listeners. Thanks for being part of the family, being part of the show. It's greatly appreciated. And of course, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content on the website. Many of the team members have been taking it kind of easy. You know, they've been enjoying the Christmas holiday. So, you know, I hope you guys have too. We have been doing that here as well. But definitely get over to the website. And I tell you, lots of you got new toys for Christmas, whether it be an iPad, whether it be an Android device. We'll talk about some of those activations later. But I think the one thing that's real important is when you go over to the website and you're on your mobile device, don't forget that you can subscribe right on the website to the show by basically just going up to the subscribe and show area of the website, clicking on the on the RSS feed, and basically you can subscribe right there on your iOS device. Lots of great apps out there as well for those of you that are on Android, so don't worry, there's a solution for you as well. So what I'm looking forward is all of you Android users to tell me what the best apps you're using to stay subscribed to the show, and we'll pass that to all the new Android users. I know I've got two youngins here that now have Android phones. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Got a little audio drop, and I think I got a cable that I may have rolled over one too many times during the 24-hour podcast. So I'm getting like this boink, boink, boink back and forth in my ear. But hey, if you want to reach out to the show, you can do so real easily by contacting me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Of course, you can reach us on the show hotline at 619-342-7365. Don't forget, you can contact us right via the website by coming over to the right-hand side and where it says send comment. All you got to do is basically click the send comment link. It'll pop up a little box and you can record a message for the show right via your mic on your computer, whether it be from your a webcam or whatever it would be, but that's the best way really to send a comment. Makes it real easy. Got a little bit of Red Bull action going on here tonight. Had a pretty good day today. It was pretty easy. We sent out the very first set of packages to FedEx. I think I took seven packages to FedEx to go to Las Vegas. The last batch will go Monday morning. We'll send the TriCaster along with the lights and some of the cameras. All that will go out Monday on the last load. But my wife's a little bit happier. The garage is a little bit emptier, more cleaned up because stuff is outbound, headed to Vegas. But I tell you, it's a it's pretty crazy everything that's going on here from a get ready to go to the show standpoint. But hey, if you're listening, hey, thanks again for being here. And if you're watching again, don't forget you can watch us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, variety of ways to stay connected with the show. That's the most important part. And of course, don't forget all of our great shows over at the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. Definitely check all them out as well. Hey, got an email from my the fellow that I work with at GoDaddy. And he said, hey, Todd, we're extending the current $2.95 offer for the .coms through the month of January. And he wanted to update me on some of my current expirations for some of my special offers. So here's the deal. The Go20 off 2 code, that 20% off code, we're going to have that now available through December 1st, 2013. That's huge. It's really, really big. Now, the Geek 295 and the Geek 495. Now, the Geek 295 is the one you want to use. Again, that's going to expire on January 31st. And then the 599 Geek code is going to expire on June 30th, 2013. So, you don't have to remember this. All you got to do is come over to the website. You'll see the 295.com's logo right on the website. When you click that, that's going to take you right over to GoDaddy. It's going to hook you up with a $295 per year up to 3.coms. Additional, of course, .coms are $7.99. But don't worry, just pick up 3, then, check out. And then the next one you pick up, use the code again. But I really want you guys to set your browser over here to a Tech Podcast. This is where a lot of action is going to happen at tpn.tv. And you'll notice there's a brand new 50% off GoDaddy website builder code on the site. And we'll be talking a lot more about website builder here soon. We got a 50% discount on a website builder program. And this is really good for those of you that are looking to get a website started in the new year. If you've got a New Year's resolution, don't forget my good friends over at GoDaddy. Of course, you can find all my codes. It's real easy to do. Once you're over on the Geeking Central website, you'll see that there's basically an icon halfway down the page. It says GoDaddy promo codes. Once you click that, it's going to take you into the page. It has all of my codes and when they're going to expire and when they're available. And you'll find a code there for every single occasion. I absolutely guarantee it. You're going to be able to really save yourself a big bunch of cash. And again, geeknewcentral.com/GoDaddy for all the codes. Hey, thanks GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. I just want to kind of quickly, I started putting up the 24-hour podcast. Actually, today I actually had time and I was able to go in and actually edit like the first 12 hours. They've actually finished uploading about an hour since I did. So I'm going to start posting the 24-hour podcast videos probably tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. They'll be in the special media feed. They'll be available for you to download. Had a couple that were corrupted, so I'm going to be going into those to make sure I can recover them. It happened when the TriCaster was acting up on us and rebooting. But got a whole bunch of media there. It's just incredible amount of content for you to review. So also the insiders. Hey, those of you that are supporting the show financially, giving us $2, $5, $10, $20, $25 a month or one-time donations, the insider was recorded on Christmas Eve. The video on that has been edited. Had a little challenge with the audio. The audio is not quite where I want it to be. So we're going to send out the video link first, and I'll be emailing all the insiders with that that recording link. If you're an insider and come tomorrow, you have not received the link for that, please email me immediately and tell me, Todd, I didn't get the link. I'll get that. It's going to be up in the insider mailing list as well. So I'll send that out. You guys will be able to watch it. It's about an hour of content that my mom and I did here on Christmas Eve, actually quite late on Christmas Eve. So I look forward to getting that up there and made available for those of you that are insiders to get access to that special program that we recorded. Hope to have had it out a little sooner, but we started recording way too late on Christmas Eve. And then, of course, the activities on Christmas Day and everything, things got pretty nuts. One thing that did happen, I got an early Christmas present. I had my Windows home server. It died. It's laying back here on the floor with me. I went to check on it because it didn't appear that it had updated, or actually I hadn't seen it come active on my desktop. And I went into the garage where I had it in a rack in there, and it basically was, for all intents and purposes, basically saying I'm not working no more. Tried to recover it. It wouldn't recover. So it must be a hardware issue. So, you know, Merry Christmas to me. So I have a replacement box on the way. I'll talk about my trials and tribulations of when I get that and how the rebuild goes. Buying a generic box from HP and then building a new system. But, you know, this is the thing that really disgusts me. And I'm actually, I'm reaching out to HP to see where we're at on a warranty on that thing, because this is my second HP Windows home server that has just up and quit on me. Of course, you know, and I run it basically in a mode where it's not on all the time. It only comes on in the middle of the night, and then it goes into a you know, basically a sleep mode for the rest of the 18 hours of the day. And I just have no idea what killed it, but long story short, it's done, and I'm feeling very vulnerable right now with not having active. Of course, we got Carbonite on a couple of the major computers, so they're, you know, doubly backed up. But a couple of the machines, we only back up with the Windows home server, and so I'm nervous. So hopefully Friday, midday tomorrow, this FedEx will deliver the new box, and I'll get that installed. Then Saturday, we will be completely recovered here from a, you know, making sure all machines are once again backed up and I'm safe. So I'm just kind of keeping my fingers crossed and nothing critical happens, because you know what happens. You know, I've told you my story several times that I've had hard drives just completely, phew, you know, they go dead, and I go, and I've got three or four hard drives of different types in a drawer here, and I pull one out and change it out in the machine, and I can be up and running again in about 3 hours. But you know what happens when you have a machine die and you have to rebuild from by hand. That's just a nightmare, and I don't want to have to deal with it. So we're covered. You know, the media is still on the drives themselves. I know how to get in it and get access to the hard drives if need be, but just want to get the box back up and running. Do want to tell, you know, I told you guys that I had gotten the kids Android phones for Christmas, and what I did, and let me talk about just how absolutely fantastic this was. When on a Black Friday, we were in Best Buy, and they had some Samsung Android phones, not, you know, really high-end ones, but decent, basically decent smartphones. They were on sale for $50 each. So I picked up two Samsung Android smartphones from Virgin Mobile. And so basically in the middle of the night, about midnight before the kids, basically after the kids had went to bed, I got their mobile phones and I did the complete transfer. So I started the transfer about midnight Hawaiian Standard Time. And by the time they woke up in the morning getting ready to do the Christmas thing, the phones were already active and ready to go for them. It was really a painless transfer to Virgin. I'm paying $35 a month for each phone. And here's the best part. Unlimited data. They only get 300 minutes of calling, but who cares? They don't call anyway. They're text ninjas. And they have just absolutely been overjoyed. And I'm really kind of pretty happy for them too, even though they've gotten a little bit mobile phone crazy. But at $35 a month, two phones at $70 are both on smartphones. And of course, my wife is now looking at the Android. She's, you know, I've had this, you know, this LG Optimus G that I've been playing with now for over a month, and which actually is going to go dead here in a couple of days. But they had, they started showing her all the stuff, and she's like, you can do this, you can do that. I don't have to have that on the, you know, on the iPhone. I'm like, no, all this stuff is in Google Play, and, you know, they're just pretty much everything is available on the iPhone, it's available on the Android. So I got her kind of thinking here, folks, a little bit. Which is really good, and all things considered, if let me hit this up here. Hang on. all things considered, she really needs to make the jump to another phone. So she's not real happy with the Sprint, the carrier itself. Here at the house, the signal's not super good. The kids don't care because they're on Wi-Fi here at the house. But she may actually make the switch. Now, it's going to be tough because she loves her iPad dearly. So we'll see if she makes the move to the iPhone 5, or if she makes the jump over to Android. Time will tell on how that goes. So I'll keep you advised on what the status was. Also, you know, the holidays gives me time to really kind of play around and check a bunch of different things out. Was really kind of excited to play with an application called Pro Presenter over the past couple of days. And it's a way where I can actually take active tweets and active chat room and actually put it up in my live video stream. I haven't quite figured out the logistics. I don't have enough hands to do the Pro Presenter stuff to bring that into the picture for the show. Relatively small price on the software. Got plenty of hardware here to run it on, just working on how to get it through some Blackmagic stuff to get it into the TriCaster. But if I'm able to pull this off, we might be able to do this in Vegas where I can have tweets and I have the chat room up in the live video, which would be really cool. We'll see, but I do have a mock-up. Actually, I probably can't show you. We know what the TPN.TV website's going to look like with the chat, and you're going to use a new type of chat service, and I was really kind of pleased with this. Let me just share with you the chat service that we're using for CES, and it has a lot of different functions. I got turned on to it by one of the team members. It's called Chat and Go, chatango.com. So it's a really pretty slick chat service, easy to set up moderators, completely archive the complete chat so we can pull the data off the server later. I'm really looking for it. Works with the iPhone. So we're going to be completely iPhone ready for the show. So you're going to be able to watch us stream live on the iPhone. Chris Livestream is our streaming provider. So everything on the website will be accessible on mobile devices. And that was really critical for us for the show. Now, running on the Amazon server tonight, you know, that's not a potential. But just something I'm going to look forward to doing with the show this year is if I can find someone that knows how to manage and how to configure and how to deal with a Wowza server, we'll set up a Wowza server here for this show and have some stuff. So lots of stuff planned for 2013. Nothing that is in the hardware department. I don't want to have to buy anything this year. Trying to keep the expenses in check. And we've got a new advertiser coming on January 7th. I'm really excited about bringing this new advertiser on board and talking to you guys about the company. We've got sponsors, of course, two sponsors lined up for the CES coverage, which is great. But I tell you, it's going to be a great 2013 in a big way. Lots of stuff to do and just basically working on, focusing on the content here and focusing on the show quality. And that's really important to me at this point is, I've got all this great gear, but let's focus on the show quality so that you guys have a great time when you're listening or watching. And as of course, we'll continue to make improvements to the website and any of this kind of cool stuff. So, you know, what do you guys expect out of the show in 2013? I'd love to hear from you where you think we should go, what we should do next, what should be the plan of attack. Love to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. I'm making some personal resolutions. I absolutely and unequivocally have to lose some weight this year. There is definitely, if I don't, I'm risking my health and my family's security. So that's on the agenda I got a big number out there and it's going to be a challenge. But I think disclosure to you guys, maybe on a weekly basis on where I'm at with the weight number will help. And so, you know, just lots of things planned, and I'm looking forward. We're going to be very busy. I'm going to hit the road and be in Vegas for the full week, get back here on the 12th. And then a week later, just a week later, I'm taking the show on the road for almost a month. I'll be on the road for almost a month. And basically, I've got an opportunity to do some consulting and going to really, it'll really help from a finance standpoint to be able to do that. So looking forward to being on the road for the, basically, for the first month and a half of the year. Now the shows will continue. There'll be no shows during the show, during CES. Of course, we're going to be doing all the live stuff. And Hootsuite is pinging at me. So just let me give you an update here on what's going on. I know I've talked a long time on just general crap. I do have lots of tech to talk about tonight. But on the 29th, we will do Saturday Morning Tech. We've got a guest coming on from GeekWire. They'll be on with us on the 29th. There'll be no show, obviously, on New Year's Eve. And then the first time you're going to see me again is when we come up live on Saturday, January 5th from Las Vegas, and we'll do an afternoon show. Probably come up for a short time on Saturday just to test connections. But then we're going to do some live stuff Sunday the 6th and 7th. And then the actual show starts Tuesday the 8th. So get into Las Vegas, though, Friday morning the 4th. And it should be an exciting week. And the team is pumped up and we're ready. We're going to do something Saturday, too. We're going to do a special pre-CES show on the actual live stream channel that we've got set up, which is over at basically new.livestream.com/TPN. We want to make sure you get over there and follow us. That's really critical that you follow us. We've gotten the word out, and so it's been pretty good from that standpoint. So let me go through my list here, make sure we get everything good. Hey, again, where do you see the show go? What should we do? What's missing? What needs to come back? What has the show lost any of its luster? You know, basically, just looking for feedback, folks. I really am. And you can be cruel. You can be nice. You can, whatever you want to say is good. And if you want to do it privately, that's cool as well. But thanks for being here and being part of the family. And we look forward to bringing you the CES coverage. So let me go ahead and bounce up and let's get into the regular show content, because I do have a stack of that for you as well. And I think we'll start off by saying, obviously, we're all still here. The main calendar did not change anything, but there is a new date. December 4th. And let me look and make sure I got this in the year. 292,277,026,596 at 15:30:08 UTC. This is the exact date when our computer world ends. And what that has to do with is that's when the Unix timestamp will exceed the largest value that can be held in a signed 64-bit integer. Now, let's not get too frightful here over this, because the sun probably would have already destroyed the Earth 7,900,000,000 years from now. That's when we expect our home star will reach its maximum diameter as a red giant, destroying Mercury, Venus, and most probably Earth. So 7.9 billion years on the clock for the sun and 292 billion years on the clock for our computer. I don't think the Y 292 billion has anything to be scared about. But if you're looking for a new number out there, that's the one to put in your calendar. Yes, we are in soon approaching 2013, and we are many billions of years away from the 292,277,026,596. So yeah, and 15 hours and 30 seconds. All right. On a more serious topic, a leaked BlackBerry 10 shows video chat and screen sharing in the new BlackBerry, and it also has a new task manager. So, you know, the top dog at RIM, Thorsten Hines, heavily implied that video would be added to the BlackBerry when BlackBerry 10 showed up. And this confirmation of the feature has come from what are thought to be leaked presentation slides. and originating on a CrackBerry forum. The images have been taken down on various sites, so people think they're legit. So if you're still a Crack or a BlackBerry user, and you know, I don't see anyone with BlackBerries anymore. And at least here in the United States, it's a pretty much dead OS to me, or MOS, mobile operating system, because Android and Windows Phone and the and iOS is obviously rocking the house. Now, I'm big on security here. We got lots of cameras. I have a very good security system that is basically maintained by a private firm that come in every 90 days and do a check on my system, make sure all the sensors are working, cameras are pointing in the right direction and everything. But there's a new company called Seacom. They're offering a private security drone. It serves as an eyes while we're away. So check this out. So this security camera is pretty cool. And what it does is if there's an alert, the quad rotor takes off once there's a break-in, and it records what's happening in the areas that would normally represent blind spots. So this basically, this robot will fly in the air and will basically film the subjects with a laser sensor, and it knows enough to keep its distance. So this is pretty cool. Now, this thing is, gotta have one. Not going to be available in the United States initially, but Japanese firms wanting Seacom's Robot Sentry are going to have to wait until April of 2014, when they can rent one for about $58 a month. And, you know, I just want one of these to say, I got a drone in my house. And this can sit in an area, you know, a ready launch pad. You know, the alarm goes off, it triggers it, the drone takes off, it flies close to the area where the alarm has been triggered. It's got a video camera on the spot. If someone's moving around, it tracks them. Don't tell me you don't want one of these. Come on, geeks. You know you're going to want one. And at $58 a month, just the bragging rights to say, I've got a drone in my house. That that would be a lot of fun. And so anyway, we'll see when this becomes available in the United States. But it's on the got-to-have list. And this would definitely be one of those things that would annoy my wife, because I could see what would happen. She would set the alarm in the home, and we would be asleep. And we've had a couple times where we've actually had the alarm go off in the middle of the night, and she would jump up, and I would jump up, and this thing would, you know, we'd run into it or something. But still, it'd be really cool. All right, Russia is planning a new spaceship. It's going to fly you to the moon, let you swing among the stars. So basically, you know, the Soyuz has been a workhorse, but the RSC Energia has announced that it finished the design of a prototype spacecraft under the country's prospective piloted transport system, the equivalent of the Orion program. The as-yet-unnamed spacecraft is expected to be ready for testing in 2017, and it is, unlike the current model, will be fully reusable. It's been designed not only as a taxi to take cosmonauts and the odd multi-billionaire to the International Space Station, but also ferry crews to the moon. So we'll see what the Russians are able to come up with, but if anybody can do it, they can. Hey, out of Taiwan, I just love this article. NCKU iTransport robot wheelchair is going to help riders reach full height. So, you know, sadly, those who use a wheelchair are often bound to basically an elevation plane that is basically as high as they can reach from the wheelchair itself. But Taiwan's National Cheng Kung University is addressing this imbalance with the iTransport. It's a robotic vehicle that can raise a driver to an upright level and shift them into a better position to grab objects that would otherwise be at arm's length. And looking at this thing, it's pretty cool. And we'll see if this thing actually makes it to market. But anything for mobility of handicapped folks is fantastic. Hey, Sonos has got what's called a Play Bar. It's appeared on the FCC. And it appears it's going to have Wi-Fi available too. So you guys know I'm a big fan of Sonos. I have basically two Sonos speakers. I have a remote system that plugs into my stereo. We played it all Christmas. It's been going like nonstop 4 or 5 days. We've had basically Pandora streaming into the Sonos stuff. My wife has finally actually started to love the system because she went into the bedroom and was able with her iPad to change the music in that room. So they've got a new product come out called the Play Bar. So we look forward to seeing what this is when it's announced, and hopefully this will be a CES announcement. I don't know. Time will tell. Speaking of CES, LG is bringing ultra-high-definition TVs in multiple sizes, high-res mobile screens, and more to CES. So LG will have something really new for us. In a press release, the company announced it will show off Ultra HD. This is a 4K 55 and 65 and 84-inch TV, complete with its FPR passive 3D tech built in. And so this is going to be an interesting, I must see at the show. So LG is also bringing several displays notable for their tiny bezels as well, including a 23-inch monitor in its Neo Blade series and a 13.3-inch laptop screen with a 2mm bezel and a 4.7-inch mobile screen with a 1mm thick bezel. So we're going to be seeing some cool stuff. And they're also going to bring tweaks to its old LED displays, which will show an ultra light and thin design at just 3.5 kilograms and 4mm thick. The OLED stuff, as you guys know, I'm total gaga over. Those screens are more vivid than life. And I'm really excited to see where they're going to go with that. Hey, if you're using Gmail phone calls, it's going to remain free of charge in 2013 for U.S. and Canada calls. So again, Google's voice IP service and Gmail remain free of charge. So that's very good. That's Google Voice is going to be free. So once again, they're continuing to grow this and look forward to see where they take this over the next year. We had a posting up on Geek News Central on a high-speed train. And basically, everyone said that's the Shinkansen. In other words, the high-speed bullet train out of Japan. But some of this was taken from some stock footage that was made available. The Chinese basically are claiming that it's high-speed rail lines. It's boasting that it's even faster and cheaper to go from one end to the other with the longest high-speed rail line in the world, a staggering 2,298-kilometer stretch of metal that reaches from north to south across the nation. The trains move at 186 miles per hour and run between Beijing and the north, Guangzhou in the south. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, the ride will take 8 hours. It's only going to cost you $139. So if you go to China and you want to basically make fast travel versus getting on an airplane, which sometimes in foreign countries are not that safe, you can try riding this 186 mile per hour train that they've got available. Apologize for the picture being Shinkansen, but it's what was made available on multiple sites, and there was real no picture of the Chinese one. Over on Hack College, if you're looking for streamable content, and if you've got a Roku or Boxy or Apple TV, you're going to want to go over to canistreamit.com and basically find, if you're looking for a Game of Thrones or a variety of different programs, this canistreamit.com is going to tell you whether or not it's available and where it's, canistream.it, canistream.it will tell you whether or not the video is available online, and then basically if you can stream it or if it's basically only available via pay-per-view. I found a link to an app that I just had to laugh at. This app basically calculates tips based on performance of your server. This is a new iOS app that's out there. Now, tipping, you know, I'm pretty serious about tipping. And let me just explain my concept of tipping. When I sit down for a meal and I'm at a restaurant, you know, I expect the waiter or waitress to be prompt, getting us either drinks or cocktails relatively quickly, letting us look over the menu, explaining the specials, everything that's going on. But the one thing that drives me absolutely crazy is if I, and this is, I most often will order iced tea with some extra lemon. They usually don't mess that up. They bring it with the, usually some extra lemon on the plate, which I squeeze. I don't put the lemon in the iced tea because that's ugh. But long story short here, if my iced tea glass gets empty, the tip starts going down. And I'm pretty serious. I did tell the guy or the gal, make sure my iced tea stays full. And, you know, I can put up with a lot of stuff. I can put up with delayed food. I can put up with, you know, silverware that's not 100%. You know, although there's just some things. But boy, I tell you, my iced tea glass gets empty. There's hell to pay and the tip's going down. So that's how I base a lot of my tipping. Or if I'm someplace and I'm for drinking cocktails and my glass is getting empty. And if they haven't asked me, do I want water or another drink? Then, you know, it's another. I'm just real big on making sure my glass has liquid in it. So what is your guys' pet peeve? You know, I will straight up, if a service is good, I'll go right there and give a standard 15%. If it's really good, I'll start increasing it. If it's out off the top, then, you know, I'll be off the top on my tip as well. And I'm not stingy, but I have left a dime or a penny on the table before when service was horrible. And I've explained to them why and explained to the manager on the way out why I haven't left a good tip. So, but do you really need an app to tell you how much to tip your server? I think we all have our own criteria, right? But anyway, if you need a little help when you're tipping, there is an iOS app for that now, and there is an app for that. All right, if you got a new Roku, here's some tips to get the most out of your new gift. Number one, optimize your home network. Make sure that you got a good connection to the device, that you've got a good strong signal for the device to use or wired up. Number two, you can check it out and make sure it's working good by just, you know, watching YouTube. Make sure that the YouTube clips are playing the way they should. If they are, you're pretty good. Definitely want to load the Tech Podcast channel, the Blueberry channel, the Pro Men Network channel. You want to get Plex and a variety of other channels as well. Make sure you download the official mobile app as well, where you can manage your channels and basically use it as a remote control. And again, install those third-party channels. There's more than 600 channels available. The three most important, ProMed, Blueberry, and Tech Podcast. Don't forget those channels. Make sure you rate them a 5 as well. So if you got a Roku for Christmas, load the channels, get the most out of it, use it to its full maximum, and you'll never be on TV again. Now, those of you that tried to watch Netflix on Christmas Eve were probably sadly disappointed because there was more Amazon Web Services issues, which took Netflix out for a while on Christmas Eve. We weren't watching any Netflix movies that night. But apparently, Amazon Prime had no issues. And they're on some of the same infrastructure. So kind of an interesting, I bet you that was a nice discussion between Netflix and Amazon that night. But once again, Amazon took out Netflix for a while on Christmas Eve. Of course, Christmas Eve for us was a little bit later. All right, how many of you have a fat dog? Yes, I said fat dog. You know, I have some friends that have some fat cats, but I don't have too many friends that have fat dogs. My dog is old. He's skinny. But if you really love your pet and he can't get upstairs no more, there's a new product for him. It's called a stair lift for dogs. Now, this is going to cost you about $8,000, but it's basically your puppy gets on a little platform. It lifts him up to a little bucket. He gets in the bucket. It takes him upstairs. If Fido can't get up the stairs himself, that is a dog that either needs to go on a serious diet or you need to quit, you know, you need to quit feeding the dog too much. Get out and walk him a little bit. $8,000 for a dog to go up a stairs. I thought this was a joke. But it's made by a UK insurance company. And I just look at this. I'm like, okay, can this lift the fat owner up the stairs too? You know, if you're going to spend $8,000 for something, it better be able to lift more than a dog up the stairs. I showed this to my wife. She's just like shook her head. She just couldn't believe it. Anyway, definitely check it out. If you got a fat dog and you love your dog so much that you want to get him a doggy lift, you can get him a doggy lift up the stairs with this automated system. My dog would not stay in this thing. He'd get in this, and about the time it started moving up the first step, he'd freak out and jump out. And so since he's so old, he'd probably break his neck. But if you got a dog that's that fat, they're probably too lazy to get in. You have to lift them in anyway. And also, how many of you did some meat tenderizing for the holidays? How many of you had some prime rib or something like that? We cooked a roast here. That's what we had for our Christmas dinner. But I wish I would have had this type of a meat tenderizer. These almost look like something that you would wear in a bar flight. A bar fight. But these are some tenderizers that will do some damage here. Please do not use these for anything in their intended purposes. And you don't have these in your car because the police will definitely arrest you for having a weapon. But if you're looking for a way to tenderize meat, this is one pretty wicked meat tenderizer. And of course, this is over at ogizmo.com. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, Twitter me at Geek News or email me geeknews@gmail.com. Well, on Christmas, more than 50% of all on activity took place on mobile devices. Should not come as a surprise because everyone was at grandma's house or the in-laws or wherever you may have had to have went for Christmas. And I hope you guys didn't end up any family feuds or anything like that. But more than half of consumer activity, again, during Christmas took place on mobile devices. 49% was desktop, 51% mobile. I came in a couple of times and did a couple quick checks on email. And as expected, was pretty slow on Christmas Day. My kids were hot and heavy on mobile all day as well. So they added to that percentage because they were glued to their smartphones all day, which is not surprising. But yes, we are a multi-mobile family here. Droid and iOS. Just need to get a Windows Phone 7 in here or Windows Phone and we'll be good. All right, Pirate Bay founder jail sentence half done. Of course, we know that founder Gottfried Stralvolt Holm is basically going to be on a home stretch of his one-year sentence. January 10th will mark 6 months. Of course, he's facing some other charges. Who knows when he's going to get out? But yeah, he's already been in the slammer for nearly 6 months. So we'll see what happens as he gets closer to the time that he's going to potentially be released. All right, exposed BitTorrent pirates, the Department of Justice, parliaments, record labels, and more. Universal Music Group was flagged of having downloaded illegally some movies and music. Sony Music Entertainment downloaded some movies and some Xbox games. Warner Music Group downloaded some games and some videos. The U.S. Department of Justice, someone over there downloaded some movies and, mostly movies at the DOJ. Air Force and Army Exchange Services, looks like they downloaded some videos of some programming called Army Wives. U.S. House of Representatives, they unsurprisingly, they downloaded movies from Game of Thrones, United Chronicles of Roddick, Persons of Interest, so basically some typical type of movies you'd expect kind of out of those folks watching. And then there was all kinds of stuff that came out of the European Parliament and so forth. So there's a lot of you that are doing peer-to-peer at work on government computers. You do know those government computers are monitored, right? So anyway, these were posted online as a little bit of a slap in the face saying, hey, you guys are being bad too and not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So that definitely is a kind of a fun tidbit to put back in the RIAA and MPAA's face. Hey, Christmas Day 2012 become record-breaking for tablet smartphone activations. New iOS and Android device activations Christmas Day equivalent of 17.4 million devices. The previous 20 days prior to Christmas was only 4 million devices. So huge, huge day for Christmas activations. And we did two of them here and took some business away from T-Mobile. All right, of course, Christmas content, boy, ebooks, iOS, everyone really, there was a huge spike. Now, if you looked at the tweets that were coming out, Apple iPad had 1,795 tweets. Amazon Kindle got 250. Google Nexus got 100. Microsoft Surface got 36. And then lots of tweets on games and a variety of other things. But anyway, Apple iPad, 1,795 tweets of people very happy getting new iPads. So kind of a cool little analysis done that way from determining what people got for Christmas. Hey, Dave Weiner's posted Blogger of the Year for 2012. He says there's something I do at the end of every year. He has at least for the past 5 years. He tries to pick people who exemplify the blogging spirit. And they've looked at Joel Spolosky, Naked Jen, Jay Rosen, Julian Assange, and Seth Godin in past. This year is Phillips Greenspun. And Phillips got a great blog at blogs.law.harvard.edu/PhilG. Link will be in the show notes. But, you know, he is a blogger before there were blogs, and he's been writing his own web CMS. So, you know, he can tell you a lot. But I followed this guy for a long time. And, but anyway, definitely check out Phillips' blog. I have the link up to Dave's article here in the show notes tonight, of course, at gncshownotes.com. If you're a Wikimedia fan or Wikipedia fan, they've raised $25 million to date in their 2012 fundraiser from over 1.2 million people. Of course, Wikimedia Foundation is the parent nonprofit organization that runs Wikipedia and similar sites. So they're $25 million, and their previous fundraising record was $20 million for more than a million donors. But this is nice; they've got some good money. I'm not such a huge fan of Wikipedia anymore due to the politics over there, but definitely they raised some money here to keep them online. How many of you got an same day delivery of any of the gifts that you ordered? There's a great article over on the New York Times talking about a gal who ordered a navy lace cocktail dress. Sounds really sexy, doesn't it? She ordered just the other day, and she was impressed. She worked in Midtown Manhattan, and the company delivered it to her the same day. They walked in, delivered it to her. She was pretty pleased with that, but this is starting to become a bigger business, same-day delivery of stuff you're ordering online. If you live in a big metropolitan area, I think it's cool. I think it really is. Doubt that we'll be able to do that here in Honolulu. All right, over on WMPowerUser.com, this is the largest independent Windows Phone community website. 75,000 Windows Phone apps published this year, 54 apps per phone downloaded. So that's pretty incredible that they've had that many. And I was playing on a Windows 7 laptop quite a bit yesterday, and I tell you, it's still frustrating to me. If you don't have a touchscreen, it's really not that great of experience. It really, really isn't. A couple of you had sent me emails saying, hey, Todd, Flickr's offering 3 months of Pro for free. And if you're, you know, I've had a Pro Flickr account for a long time. Matter of fact, I usually pay a couple of years in advance. We've got one for tech podcasts for our CES coverage. And it kind of irked me because when I renewed my Flickr account, there was no place that showed me that I was getting a free 3 month offer. They said they'll add it to the end, but I was just too nervous. But if you haven't been on Flickr in a while, they are they're giving basically a Flickr Pro account to everyone for 3 months. And Merry Christmas to you if you have claimed that. If not, make sure you go out and do. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, this next topic's a little bit more on the serious side and really on the sad side as well. We all know that what happened in Connecticut was just a horrible tragedy, and you know, your hearts go out to those parents having to have gone through Christmas without a child and the devastation that was impacted upon that community. And you know, we're not going to go into the gun issue. You know, we're going to talk about another article here from a privacy standpoint. But I just want to put something out there, and I just want you guys to think about this. So geneticists are attempting to find answers to the shooting in Adam Lanza's DNA. And I think I talked about this before, but I got to thinking more about this and had read a follow-up article. And what triggered it today was something I saw on The Verge. So let's say that they look at his genetics, look at his DNA, and they find something that they say is abnormal, or they determine is abnormal. Now, what happens when other citizens' DNA is examined and they show that same abnormality? Well, all of a sudden, you become on a watch list or not be able to get a weapons permit. This is an interesting move here. And, you know, we all want to know why people do this stuff. And I think it's going to be very hard for them to figure that out. But, the question here is, what are they going to do if they do find something? Are they going to look for genetic components to mental illness? Are they going to look for abnormalities that could provide a clue to his behavior? And is it something that they can see DNA issues that cause something for him to be have a psychotic issue? You know, that's pretty scary stuff. And if they do find something, are all of a sudden, you know, people's DNA going to be a trigger for, you know, law enforcement to put you on a watch list? Maybe I'm being over the top here, but think about that from a standpoint. And we'll see what happens with this. I'm sure it'll be reported on. But at the same time, you know, there's some newspapers out there that have really went after illegal gun owners. And there was a small town newspaper that touched off basically a firestorm of criticism. They printed the addresses of registered gun owners and laid it out on a Google map and said, here's where everyone in our area that has a gun permit lives. Now, let's say that I'm not a gun owner and my neighbor is, would a crook or a thief use that data to say, okay, we can hit Todd's house and you're not going to hit the other guy because he's a registered gun owner? Has that newspaper crossed the line in publishing that? Now, obviously this is public information, because they were able to get access to that. So this is, you know, obviously something that, you know, should not be, you know, the editors had submitted a freedom of information request and they had gotten the registered gun owners' names in Westchester, Rockland, and Putnam counties. And that information is public by state law and plotted again, those addresses on Google Maps. So, what do you guys think about that? You know, I know there's a lot of sensitivity about that shooting, but at the same time, does it make you a little nervous that this newspaper published every gun owner's address in the newspaper, put it up on a website? I think it's a little bit over the top myself. And I know here in Honolulu, there's been many reports of gun sales actually being like through the roof. So, because people are worried that basically gun rights are going to be taken away. But I don't know. What do you guys think about this being published? Is it a big deal? Would you be upset? Love to hear your feedback from a privacy standpoint. All right, moving on to a much lighter topic. 1 in 4 Americans now owns a tablet, according to Pew Research. So if you've got a tablet, definitely want to make sure you're watching the show on the tablet. Get subscribed so that you can listen and participate. But we're going to talk about more about tablets here in the coming weeks. I'm going to pick up an Android tablet so that we can really dig in deep and give you good details on how to consume this show and others using multiple devices. If we've got any of the savvy audience members out there that want to help us provide tutorials, I'd love to hear from you as well. All right, Apple's leadership spurs industry-wide changes for Chinese labor. There's a huge, long article over on Ars Technica that talks about Apple's efforts to reform labor practices in its of its Chinese suppliers. And there's also a some follow-on reports on some other sites as well. But I guess this is having a ripple effect and them basically making sure their employees get, you know, basic stuff like better chairs and this type of stuff. And and enforcing the 49-hour work week and doubling pay, and it's had this trickle-down effect in China. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes on this. It's kind of interesting to see the move, and it's to be expected. You know, people are demanding that the people be treated fairly and basically not be made slaves and have to work 100 hours a week. You know, that's unhealthy in itself. But believe me, working 100 hours a week sucks. It's no fun in any aspect of the word. But pretty good article on what's been going on inside these factories and changes that are moving forth. All right, if you have a son or a daughter that wants to be a rock star, here's a little thing that you can use against them. There's a study out that basically shows that population talks about reduces life expectancy. And they show the average curve, and then it goes into how many years your survival rate, what your survival rate is over, let's say, 20 years. So, for example, a pop star in North America, if they have been famous for 20 years, they basically have a 94% survival rate. If they go all the way out to 40 years, their survival rate drops down to about 70% as compared to the mean number. In other words, folks are living longer that aren't pop stars. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with lifestyle. You know, if you're a rock star and living like a rock star, drinking like a rock star, partaking in illicit activities like a rock star, it's probably going to impact you. I'm sure there's some exceptions to the rule here. But one thing is kind of interesting is that pop star survival in Europe is much longer than in the United States. So kind of an interesting chart here, but if you live like a rock star and you are a rock star, you're not going to live as long as the general population. And they have over 1,000, they used over 1,000 pop stars' histories to come up with this data. All right, the Senate is getting ready to vote to reauthorize the FISA Amendment Act. And, of course, this controversial legislation that gives the federal government broad powers to intercept Americans' international communications by the warrant. The House of Reps approved a 5-year extension in September, but without Senate support, some government sailor powers will expire at the end of the year. But apparently it's being taken up here over the break and will likely be pushed through. So that's going to be moving on and staying in effect. I think they better focus on the budget issues and this fiscal cliff thing that's looming that we're about ready to fall over. Not only that, the debt ceiling we're about ready to hit on Monday as well. It's being reported on MSNBC that 2013 might be the year scientists find the first alien Earth. The Kepler mission looks for Earth-sized planets and Earth-like orbits around sun-like stars. And with the planets piling up and with having discovered over 800 so far, and many more candidates awaiting confirmation from follow-on observations, they feel that 2013 could be the year that they find an Earth-like planet in an orbit, and that's a prediction that's been made there. In 2012, half of Americans have left their landline behind. A new study indicates that fully half of Americans are living in a household that uses only or mostly mobile phones, but the remainder have been very slow to convert. So that's pretty shocking. Of the 20,000 households interviewed, just over half used wireless phones for nearly all phone calls. 35.9% were wireless only, and 15.9% had a landline but rarely used it. That adds up to 51.8% of all households, which is less than 2% more than the same period last year. I like these end-of-the-year articles. Hey, you know, how many of you picked up a refurbished or used product from a company like GameStop? Well, a father had picked up a Nintendo 3DS Christmas gift, given it to his 5-year-old son. His, of course, Christmas came, and his son got his present, was pretty stoked about it, and booted it up and was messing through it, and lo and behold, it was loaded with porn. So the slightly older brother, recognized what it was, gave it to his dad, and the father got online with GameStop and I guess just tore them a you know what, and GameStop basically gave him a brand new 3DS, not a refurbished one. So GameStop has issued an apology, but make sure if you bought any refurbished devices that you look through those, okay? Hey, a fellow a couple years ago bought a building at One Times Square. He actually picked it up in 1997 for $117 million. And today, that building, which is empty, earns him $23 million each year from billboard advertising that's on the side of it. How would you like to have a building that you paid $117 million for in 97 that pays you $23 million a year for advertising? That's like the cash cow that keeps on giving. Hey, John McAfee has told the world how he fooled cops and escaped Belize. So be on the lookout. John McAfee's on the road traveling across America. And this story just gets weirder and weirder. I'll have both articles linked up. He talks about the escape part one and interlaced with pictures of his girlfriend and pictures of Belize and everything else. And so I think she got deported back to Belize. So who knows what's going on with her. But anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Another article over on Wired is talking about smart TV and how people are not using smart TVs for their purpose. And basically, the complaint is that they are not as easy to use as the regular television. And I have to agree, there has to be some work done on the interface. And but it says a lot of people are buying TVs with smart TVs in them, but they're not doing very much with them. And matter of fact, some people don't even know that they bought a smart TV until someone tells them that they've got one and helps them get it hooked up. So we knew this would be the case, but over time, we hope everyone gets their smart TVs and use them the way they're supposed to. Hey, SpaceX carried out a test. On December 17th, they had a rocket that flew to 131 feet. It hovered and then it landed again. This is called their Grasshopper. This is the third flight for Grasshopper, a test vehicle SpaceX is using to develop a fully controllable and reusable first stage launch vehicle for future trips to orbit and beyond. And the previous two flights made it to 6 feet and 18 feet respectively. So they're pretty excited about this. The flight lasted 29 seconds, but the thing didn't flip over and crash. So they're making headway with this thing. So we'll see where this goes, and maybe they'll get this figured out. All right, Landsat 5 is to be retired. The U.S. Geological Survey announced Friday that it plans to decommission the aging Landsat 5 spacecraft in the coming months as a replacement satellite is prepared for launch. Landsat 5 launched in 1984 with a planned design life of 3 years, but has continued operations after the loss of Landsat 6 in a launch that failed in 1993 and technical problems with Landsat 7 in 1999. USGS officials said the recent failure of a gyro on Landsat 5 prompted a decision to decommission the spacecraft. A new remote sensing satellite, Landsat 8, also known as the Landsat Data Continuity Mission, is scheduled for launch in February. And so we'll see if they get this one in the air. They haven't had a lot of luck with their satellites. Jewel in the Night, original music and pictures from a space station Christmas. You got to listen to this song. I can't play it on the show because I will be busting copyright. But they got himself a guitar up in space, and he recorded a... recorded a song up there. It's pretty cool. And it's original music. But anyway, the most expensive guitar in the universe is aboard the ISS, figuring how much it costs to get it up there. But they got their tree up with Christmas ornaments and some socks, too. So I'm sure that we paid $100,000 to send them a Christmas tree and some socks for their Christmas gifts. I wonder if Santa Claus delivered to the International Space Station. Curiosity celebrating its first Martian Christmas at Yellowknife Bay. So there's some pictures about that, what's going on with Curiosity. And to follow up with that, there's a very cool picture. It's a color view of the Darling Dione. And this is one of the moons of Saturn. Of course, it's Dione is the name of the moon. So definitely check that out. Be out in the show notes. And they gave you some... comparisons in size between the moon and Dione on what it is. Let me look in the show notes here and see if we had anything come in. It's been a pretty quiet week. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff here. Got an email from Dan. Dan says, hey, San Diego family has an original Christmas say to see the leaf. The 7-foot-high tree is decked out with a 76-foot functioning Hot Wheels roller coaster. So, Dan, thanks for sending that over. I appreciate it. Russell told me this is a response to something on Saturday Morning Tech saying use Start 8 is your solution in Windows 8. Thanks for that, Russell. I got an email from Jeff. He said, hey, Todd, check out Facebook introducing Snapchat competitor Poke. So if you haven't checked out the new Poke from Facebook, you want to do that. Got an email here from JRDs to tell me that, hey, there's going to be no iTunes submissions between now and December 28th. So, yep, we knew that. Got an email from MS Small Biz. And, oh, this was on a previous show. So we're good for emails that have come into the show. No other voicemails or anything else have come in. So I'm going to wrap the show up here. I want to thank everyone. Hey, this is going to be the last Geek News Central for 2012. It's been absolutely my pleasure to bring you the show this year. And you guys know we're heading into the ninth year of the podcast, basically. It's hard to believe that just a few years here, we're going to be at the 10-year mark for the show. Many of you have been here from the very, very beginning. We've seen a lot together, lots of change, lots of new things, lots of stuff going on in the space. And you know, one thing remains the same, tech news and this show, and I want to continue to give you guys great content. You know, we're going to CES, and we have spent an absolute crap ton of money to bring you guys what we hope and consider and will be the best independent coverage of CES. We're going to go there and we're going to dig and find all the great products, services, new cool stuff, and we're going to share it with you. We'd love to do more shows. We'd love to do NAB. We'd love to do E3. We'd love to have the same type of coverage at these other shows as we do at CES. The only way we can do that is if we really be able to up the game in the coming year on finding more sponsors that are going to come in and support our endeavors. And the way we do that is, number one, drive views, provide feedback, comment on the blog posts that we make, tweet this information out. You guys are the key to helping us grow coverage across multiple shows. If you guys comment, if you guys tweet, if you guys do everything that you can to help us get the word out when we're doing it, post-show and all the other stuff, it'll really help make the content that we put together for this to become more recognizable as having value. We have driven millions of views to the show. I mean, it's incredible what we've done every year, and I'm really, quite honestly, shocked by the numbers. But it's consumed, but very few folks react and make comments and say, I bought something because of this content. So we really want you guys, as we're putting stuff up during the show and after the show, comment away, please. The live blog is going to be fantastic. We're going to be taking pictures. We're going to be making tweets. We're going to send you links. The live blog is going to have as much, in my goal, if everything goes right and everyone, all the hosts cooperate, it's going to be this ongoing update of information, pictures, scenes. Things are going to be cool. We're really going to work hard at it, and it's going to be a monumental effort just to make sure we keep that rolling in itself. And so we hope that you guys will follow the entire show. Stay online. Even if you walk away from your computer, leave the stream up. Okay, we need the numbers to be spectacular. And the only way we're going to do it is if you guys stay hooked up, stay with us. You know, Twit's not going to be there live. CNET is. I think Engadget is, but no one is going to bring you a new guest every 10 minutes. Let me show you, those of you that hang to the end and are willing to hang just a few more minutes, let me show you the schedule. And I need a second here to bring it up. And let me show you the interview schedule that is already been booked in place. And while Friday is kind of empty, Let me just show you guys this. This is the schedule already. This is how many people we booked, and we're still really a week or more away, and this will fill. This will be incredibly full, and even the Friday spots will fill. We'll fill the Friday interviews from the floor, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's going to be nonstop. There's going to be a new guest every 10 minutes, and I'm really excited about what we're going to bring to you in Vegas and the vendors and everyone that signed up. And we've tried to be real careful and weed out the crap, because there's been a few people apply that had crap. I'm sure we'll get a few duds, but no one's going to bring you a new guest every 10 minutes. That's, you know, that's, if you think about that, boom, 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 you're going to see six new products every hour. And we're working our advertising different this year. It's going to be intermixed between guest changeouts. Last year I only booked 5 guests an hour. This year we're booking 6 guests an hour. So that tells you how hot and heavy we're going to be. And we're going to be watching the time as well, because we're going to get excited. But it's going to be great. And if the stream and the bandwidth and everything stays up and you guys tweet like crazy and bring in the masses, we're going to blow some numbers completely off the chart. We had 600,000 view hours in 2012, and I just want to completely decimate that. I'd like to see us well over 1 million viewer hours for 2013. So I hope you guys will help us take us to that level. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the show, and thanks for sticking with the podcast through 2012, and I greatly appreciate it. We'll see you next time. We'll see you on Saturday Morning Tech. We got Geek Wire. It's going to come on with Rob Greenlee, of course, my co-host for Saturday Morning Tech. And then the rest of the year, the lights come down and everything gets put in boxes and we ship to Vegas on New Year's Eve. So everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.